Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and where have we been today? Well, through police-community relations in the Sean Bell era, thriving with Down syndrome, and the challenges for U.S. women fighting in Iraq. And we will finish up today with a call-in on New York as a lost and found. Your stories of losing things and sometimes recovering them in the faceless city. Now, this is inspired, actually, by the recent experience of one of our staffers who didn't exactly lose his BlackBerry. Some guy ran right up to him and snatched it out of his hand. Our victim thinks the thief was in his mid-20s, and he was sure the BlackBerry was gone forever. But then a few days later, much to his surprise, a teacher from a Brooklyn middle school called him up and said it was turned into her by a student, no questions asked. The teacher apparently got our staffer's name from the BlackBerry's files, so he got it back. So really, we have two questions for you on this. One, should our staffer leave well enough alone and be happy to have his BlackBerry back? Or should he follow up with the school, find the kid who turned it in, and see if he can trace it back from there to the adult thief? 212-433-WNYC. What would you do? 212-433-9692. And two, just call and tell us your stories of losing things or having them stolen in New York and then getting them back. Has this ever happened to you? Has it happened to you in surprising or unusual ways? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. Our inbox is always open. On the first question, it's partly an ethical question, partly a practical one, right? Practical because it'll take a lot of time, and he did get this thing back, and so sort of no harm done. And an ethical question, because someone did return the BlackBerry, so should that person be left alone? Do you want to embroil more kids, potentially, in the criminal justice system, even as witnesses? Does looking for an adult thief through the kids, the fact that it's an adult, change that ethical equation? Or is it simply the ethical thing to do to confront him because the thief is still out there, presumably ready to snatch things from other people? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And on the second question, just call and tell us your most unusual New York City lost and found story. An AP story recently on the MTA's lost property unit says, the commonplace include backpacks, books, cell phones, and other electronic devices. There are gloves, wallets, keys, eyewear, umbrellas, and a growing collection of canes. And it continues, then there are the not-so-conventional articles, dentures and a denture maker, Bibles, a bowling ball, an amplifier, a computer monitor, bicycles, lots of them, luggage, undergarments, musical instruments, even a prosthetic leg, says the Associated Press. So maybe you want to call and tell us if you ever walked off a subway train without your artificial leg or your bicycle or your bowling ball or, oh, I left that computer monitor right on the A train. And if you ever got them back, who's got a good one? 212-433-WNYC or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And should our relieved staffer go seek out the teenager who wound up with his stolen BlackBerry? What do you think? 212-433-WNYC. David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi.
So?
Well, during Valentine's Day, when all that snow came, my wife lost her wallet that night. We couldn't find it for about a week and a half until the sanitation worker dropped it at our building. It turns out that it had fallen in a snowbank, and he had returned it.
There you go. You got it back. Did you give him a reward or a tip?
No, well, it was very soggy and dirty as in the first place. But he returned it to our doorman.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Did it have cash still in it, soggy and dirty?
It did. And so my first thought was that, you know, the depth of the city never ends.
There you go. David, thank you very much. Bob in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Brian.
I had a very unusual experience. I live in Long Island City, Queens. I just moved there, although I'm in Manhattan right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm a photojournalist and involved with the Quakers a lot. And I had about maybe $10,000 to $15,000 worth of camera equipment in a bag on a trolley. And I was rushing to do a friend a favor. And I got to the job, and I realized one of the bags was missing, and it was most of the cameras. And I got very concerned. I went back to the subway. I couldn't find it anywhere. The next day, I told my wife to go to the church across the street and say a prayer and we'd find it. She'd never been in that church. The next day, the church called and said somebody had dropped a suspicious package at the door, and they were afraid to open it, and the caretaker took it home, found the cameras, found my number, and they returned it anonymously.
Whoa.
I had a real great concern about this sting operation that the police had done recently about these iPods that were left on telephone booths. Are you familiar with that?
No, they left them to see if people would take them?
Yeah, it was a situation where they would actually leave out iPods. This is a news story.
Yeah, I missed this.
That I think was fairly well publicized. And there would be an officer stationed nearby in uniform. And if the youth picked up the iPod, it wasn't an iPod, it was a telephone, it was a cell phone.
Okay.
If the youth picked up the cell phone and didn't return it to the officer standing nearby, they would be arrested.
If they picked it up and kept it.
That's right.
Boy, there's a discussion, huh? The moral difference between that and actually stealing something out of somebody's hand.
That's right. And there's a group of, I guess, 100 men in uniform that are of color. I don't know the name of that group.
Yeah, 100 blacks in law enforcement who care, it's called.
And I believe if you research that, there's a lawsuit going on right now in relation to that sting operation because they felt it was unethical. I myself had lost a cell phone in the Atlanta airport, and somebody had taken it home. I tried to call the number, and she said, oh, well, I have the phone. I said, well, how am I going to get it? She said, well, are you coming back to Atlanta? And I said, yes. And she said, well, I'll meet you at the airport. I work there. So sometimes people pick up these things, and then they either try to contact somebody, like in the case of the example you gave of the previous caller. You know, the BlackBerry that was returned.
Yeah, and did you go back to Atlanta, and did she give it back to you and meet you there?
I did. I went back to Atlanta a week later, and she was not working that day, but she drove to the airport, and I went out of security, picked it up, and I gave her a reward.
There you go. Bob, thank you for your call. You raised some story with $10,000 worth of camera equipment, and also you raised an interesting question about that sting, if it's the way you describe it. And let's see. Maya in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Maya.
Hi. Hi. Love your program.
Thank you. What happened to you?
Well, on January 26th, I was going down to water a friend's plants on Warren Street, and I had two beautiful family heirloom pieces of jade and one gold piece from another family, as it were. And I lost it between Chambers and Warren, and I went back three or four times. I went through everything, and I'm hoping somebody's listening that found it. And if there is, I'll give them a reward, and you'll get a watercolor or whatever you want. I'm an artist, and these are just invaluable pieces to me. I've had them for 50 years. And it's my fault. I had them on a string, and I was going to buy a good, strong chain, and it was, in that sense, my fault.
So you are calling to tell people that these golden jade pieces are out there, and
yes,
you're offering a reward.
Yes. And is there a place in the city that one can call that is a general lost and found place?
Not the MTA lost and found place.
I did call them because I thought maybe I lost it on the bus.
Right. You know, I don't know, but I would recommend that you call 311 and maybe they'll have an answer for you. Thank you for calling. Good luck with it. Elizabeth in Stratford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
All right.
My comment is directed to your staffer, and I just have one word, which is karma. I would say, you know, a lot of bad things happen to everybody, a lot of good things happen to everybody, but given the segment that was previous, if the worst thing that happens to you is someone takes your BlackBerry and then you actually get it back, that's a pretty good day.
What about the other people who might be, you know, this was a pretty brazen thing, the way he described it. Somebody went right up to him as he was using it, snatched it from his hand, and ran away. So someone is out in Brooklyn doing that.
Well, that person is going to, it's all going to come around, I guarantee that. So we'll probably get caught, and he may go to jail. He may not, but, it, you know, for your staffer, he should say to himself, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to be alive. I'm lucky to have my BlackBerry back, and I'm lucky that I don't have PTSD. I mean, I just feel like there's so much other bad things that are happening.
And the,
this is a good thing. It's a good thing that he got it back.
And so the thief will get it in his next life, according to the karma theory.
He may get it in a week.
Yeah.
But
okay.
You know, and he's going to feel bad. I mean, I would imagine that most thieves don't really feel great after they take things.
So this staffer just said in my ear, what, I should just feel good because I haven't been mugged today?
Well, I guess, no, he should feel good that he's alive.
Elizabeth, thank you very much. And Ellen and Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
I was once asked by my great aunt to give $100 in cash to my brother who was in law school at the time and so struggling, you know, with no income. And in the old way, it was pinned into my pocket was the way that she wanted me to carry it. And it managed to get itself loose in Washington Square Park as I walked across to NYU Law School, and someone chased me to return it to me, $100 in cash. And they said, not only that, but everyone now knows that you're now carrying cash. Where are you going? I will watch you till you get into the building.
Wow. So the generosity.
I restored my faith in New Yorkers.
That's right. There you go. Thank you very much. Chris in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. So I left my, this happened right after 9/11, actually. I left my book bag on a JMZ platform, Brooklyn bound. They had my laptop, my wallet, all my identification, everything. Mm. And the next day, I guess, actually, happened to be my 30th birthday. And the guys who found it saw my ID, saw that it was my 30th birthday, and called me and felt so bad that they actually met me and gave it all back.
All these heartwarming stories. You mean they didn't get you, they didn't include a cake?
No, but you know, that's actually not true. They actually did. They did keep my Palm Pilot.
Your Palm Pilot? That's a big deal.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't really work anyways. So
interesting. Okay, Chris, thank you very much. See, the karma caller probably thinks Chris has the right idea. He lost his Palm Pilot in that exchange, and no big deal. Didn't work anyway. Nancy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Brian. I have a story from about 20 years ago when I went to have a job interview in Manhattan. I was traveling in from another city and left my overnight case in the back of the cab. And before I could grab it, he sped off. And over the next couple of hours, this is 10 o'clock at night, I tried to find it, tried to locate him, hoped he would come back to the hotel. And just as I was about to give up and decide whether I wanted to still try and go to the interview, not properly dressed or with anything that one would need, he showed up.
Wow, because he remembered where he dropped you.
He remembered where he dropped me. He did not have a fare back in from the airport.
Uh-huh.
But he went out of his way to come to the hotel and find me and return the case. And wouldn't accept anything for it.
Wow, that is really nice.
And this is one of my enduring New York good-feeling memories.
And these are the kinds of stories people are calling up with. So for those of you
when
disheartened...
When anyone makes any derogatory comments about
New York,
which they often do.
You didn't, I presume you didn't get a receipt.
No.
Because I had a much smaller but somewhat similar experience. I once left my, not left, I guess it fell out of my pocket, or somehow I left a wallet in a taxi, and I didn't get a receipt. And the same thing happened pretty much. The taxi driver looked up my information and got in touch with me, and you know, we made an appointment to meet somewhere, and he gave me back the wallet, and it had everything in it, including the cash. I did give him some money as a thank you, and after that, though, I started taking a receipt every single time because that's how you can trace it if you're boneheaded like us, and make sure you can find the guy if you don't get an exemplary human being like we did.
Exactly.
So, thank you for your call.
You're welcome. Bye.
And Art in Croton on Hudson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Art.
Hi. Let me turn the radio down.
It's a long way to the radio in Croton on Hudson.
I turned the radio down.
We have bigger houses, you know, bigger places to live than we do in Manhattan, so it's a longer way to the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah. Some years ago, my then wife and I were going to take her parents to Forest Hills to see Ray Charles, mm-hmm. the stadium. We were living in Jamaica. So we get in the car, but we didn't tell them that it was a surprise. So we get in the car, we didn't tell them we were going to go have a drink. And we get over to a subway stop before Forest Hills. We figure we'll park the car there because it's a parking lot rather than go to the stadium and have to deal with that. So getting out of the car, I had my coat on my arm. My wallet was in the inside coat pocket. It fell on the ground. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So we head down to the subway station. We go downstairs, and I reach for my wallet. It's gone. Well, the tickets to the concert are in the pocket.
Ouch.
So we come back outside. I'm looking. I told them I can't find my wallet. We still hadn't told them where we were going. So I'm looking. We looked. I scoured the sidewalk and the grass. No wallet. So we had to tell them. I said, well, wait a minute. Let me go back and get in this parking garage, get the car, drive over to Elsie's house, which was a godmother we had stopped by there, and to see if maybe it fell out there. Go over there, nothing. I mean, and you know, Queens, it's hard. It takes a long time to drive in the traffic and all that. So I came back over to where they were. They waited for me. And I said, well, I didn't find it. And we looked some more. I heard this car horn blowing. And this guy is blowing is heavy traffic. And so I finally looked up, because I don't generally pay attention to that kind of thing, because people load the horns all the time anyhow.
Yeah.
I looked up, and the guy's waving his hand. He said, is your name Sims? He couldn't say my last name, which is Symes. So I looked at him kind of strange. I said, yes. He said, did you lose your wallet?
Ooh.
I said, yes. What happened was he was in the heavy traffic, and he saw the wallet fall out. He tried to signal me, call me, and we were in a hurry, so I didn't, you know, I didn't pay attention to him. He got his way over. He picked up the wallet. He drove all the way home, wherever that was, and it was a ways from there.
And all the way back. And, Art, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time, but thank you for your call, and thanks to all of you who called. Well, there is a moral of the story, because almost everybody called with the same kind of story, and that is there are good-hearted New Yorkers who will go out of their way. You know, Art, I think, was somewhere else. I guess his story was New York, too. Anyway, yes. Not everybody is cold in the cold-hearted city. Thanks for your calls. Nuala McGovern produces this program with Jim Colgan, Priya George, Lisa Allison, and Kate Hines. Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.